Hello and welcome to Tea O'Clock.
With Keller, bring your tea.
And leave with more.
Welcome to episode 17.
I don't think 17 has any special relevance, but we're getting there, getting towards 20.
We are, we're really getting there quickly. I'm impressed.
Yeah. I wonder how soon it will be before we can record in person.
Hopefully not too long, because we'll both be going down to Cornwall soon, but whether we'll be allowed to see each other or not.
Oh my god, imagine if we recorded one outside.
It might work, you know, it could work.
We could, yeah. I mean, I do have some kind of, it's not really a garden, but you know what I mean, that patio thing.
We could do it, hopefully, yeah. Soon. April, May time, we should be able to have some podcasts in person
and then
together.
Probably we'll be back home at different points in the summer, and then you'll go off to Germany, and we'll have to do it online again, but at least we're prepared for it, so...
Exactly, we've had a lot of preparation.
Yeah, definitely. Ella pointed out that we're both wearing pink today, so that's exciting because we're recording on a Wednesday.
So proper mean girl fashion today.
Exactly. But we're going complete opposite end of the spectrum today. No mean girls, no Angus thongs. It's our Harry Potter episode, and specifically Half-Blood Prince.
I'm very excited. We should do our what we're consuming before...
Oh, God, yeah, before we forget. Well, I forget. Oh, you can kick it off then.
Okay. I wrote my stuff in a little sticky note so I wouldn't forget.
Oh, that's good.
And I thought, oh, is there a theme? Because in listening to the Her soundtrack... Her is like, I mentioned it in the first episode, it's like my favourite film ever. Yeah. And they never properly released the soundtrack. They only released it a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
So I've been
That's
listening
strange.
To that.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't really... They released some of the songs, but like a lot of the film has like music like in the background continuously. So they released those soundtracks recently. So I've been listening to that, which has been nice. And I've also been reading Her Land. This was the link with the herds.
Okay.
I read that for my module. It's basically this utopian society where there's only women and they don't have the need for men anymore. So that's kind of cool. That was good. But then what I've been watching doesn't link, because I've been watching Unorthodox on Netflix, which I've had on like my list to watch for ages. So I finally got around to watching it. And it's really good. It's really interesting because it's about an Orthodox Jewish society, and this girl, she like leaves and goes to Germany and tries to like find a life for herself there. But yeah, it's really good. That's me for this week.
Very nice. I love how prepared you were with your post-it note. I did not prepare. It's all right, we'll go with it. So two of mine link, actually. So last week I said, I think, that I was listening to the Boy from Oz soundtrack. And this week I also carried on listening to it, but I watched the Broadway version of it on YouTube with Hugh Jackman in. And I mean, Ella already knows all this, but it was so funny because I probably shouldn't have watched it. It was a very questionable recording, a few blackout moments, lots of zooming in and out. Couldn't hear it all. So I had it at points. I had the songs on my phone and I was trying to get it in time and play it along when they started one so I could enjoy it properly. But at least I knew the songs. But you could just still tell, even if you couldn't see it all properly, that Hugh Jackman was amazing. I would love to see it in person. I'm surprised it's not a film. It's just, you can't watch it anywhere, really, apart from that one version on YouTube. So it's a shame, but I did enjoy watching that and still listening to the soundtrack. And then reading-wise, I started reading. It's a collection of poems called... I don't know, I think it's like Poems to Fall in Love With, and it's got lots of classic famous love poems in there, but also some newer ones by people I don't know, and it's just really cute. It's got loads of illustrations in and it's so pretty. It feels like a picture book. I just love flicking through it and looking at it, and I just get so gassed because they had my second favorite part of Romeo and Juliet was in there. I got so excited reading that. It has She Walks in Beauty in there. which I love. I was geeking out and I was saying all aloud to myself all the words. So I highly recommend that. And it's just, yeah, there's loads of really good options in there, different ones for people who don't necessarily enjoy poetry. So that's a good one.
Oh, that's lovely.
Thank you.
Oh.
I love as well that we can see, I've said this I think before in the podcast, but I love seeing on Goodreads what we're up to. I've been enjoying seeing our challenges, especially recently, and I was so excited because you were ahead of me. I think you hit 10 books and Georgia was on 11, and I think I'm on 10 or 11.
I'm gonna
I
have a
don't
look.
know.
It's not
And then I
working.
think whatever number I was on, and then you or Georgia got another one. And I was like, no. Because I was trying to catch up to you.
I feel stressed. I don't actually know how many I've read.
I don't
I
know.
don't
I
think
see
it's
what
you.
we're
I don't
on.
think I. You've read 11 so
Ooh.
far. And how many have I read? Why is it not telling me? Oh, and I've read 10. So you're winning.
For now. Oh, and Georgia's read 13. I
Okay.
mean, that girl, well.
She floors both of us.
I know. I was taking the mickey out of George because it says she's read zero this year and last year because she's only sorted out now. So, hey ho. But anyway, Harry Potter, should we begin?
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin because
I
there's
know.
so much we could say.
This is the thing. We learned our lesson from Glee when we tried to talk about six seasons in one episode. So, we thought, no, we're just going to center it on Harper Prince, our favourite. And we can have a talk more generally about Harry Potter as well, if we like. But
Yeah.
yeah, there's a
And
lot of
then
ground.
I also found a quiz we can do, which is what Harry Potter character are you? Because I thought
Ooh.
we've done the houses once, and
Yeah.
I also kind of sat and went back through our chat to find when you, George, and I
Did
did like
you?
the
No way.
sorting house quiz. So I've got the results of that screenshotted, so we can share those without having to redo it.
Oh my God, do you know, I was thinking about what quiz were we going to do because we already did that. How far back did you have to go in our chat to find it?
I think it was like November, December time. It was quite far
You
back.
must have been scrolling for so long, the amount of stuff in there. Wow. Oh my God.
But let's focus on Half-Blood Prince first and take it from there.
Yes.
We should also say before we get into it all that we do not agree with any of J.K. Rowling's views or opinions or anything. We're just looking at Harry Potter from a fan point of view. So yeah, just thought I'd let everyone be aware of that. We've separated the art from the artist in this case.
Do we need, should we give the plot? Because, well, we always do, so we might as
Yeah.
well. Yeah, I guess so.
We always do. So year six, so that's like sixth form, year 12 in our equivalent. I think I literally watched it last night and I'm like, where do I start?
They still blur into one as well for me, some to a degree, but at least I'm glad I did watch it last night so I know exactly what happened.
So it's got all the good stuff. So it's got Slughorn comes back. And basically, this is the film where they find out what the Horcruxes actually are and begin trying to destroy them, which is kind of exciting. But then there's also Draco.
Draco.
Draco, a man, he's been tasked with killing Dumbledore, basically. But Snape makes an unbreakable vow with Draco's mum to be like, I will help him, I will look after him. So skip to the end when he ends up killing Dumbledore. This
Wow.
is such an erratic description that I'm giving.
Well, I would imagine that most people listening to this, if you've got to Half-Blood Prince, you've seen the others. But like
Yeah.
everyone knows where we're at, it's fine.
In this one you have Harry and Ginny. They start to get all like cute, and so do Ron and Hermione semi, because of course Ron's with Lavender
Yeah.
part of the film. But
That's
then
true.
I guess the romance things start to become a bit more prevalent in this one.
Why is it our favourite?
I don't know. I was trying to think that. I was like, why do I like this one the most? Because I like this, but I don't really know why. What do you know why you like this one?
I think in part it's because it's the first of the films that I actually saw in the cinema. And I worked out, I think we must have been about eight when it came out. I'm not sure. Roundabout. I feel like it was in year four time, which is mad when you think about it. But I saw it in the cinema having only read, I don't know, I think I might, I don't know where what I'd read, what I'd seen, but I didn't know what was coming, essentially.
Yeah.
And I was just shook. I remember everyone sobbing when Dumbledore died, and I don't think I properly understood what had happened, and all the Horcruxes stuff. I just didn't get it. It just felt so dramatic. And I think this is where it goes super, super dark. Or like starting from, I reckon, when Sirius dies, and you see at End of Order of Phoenix when Voldemort comes out. Yeah. And that is so scary. And I think after that, like, you know, with the Warner Brothers thing at the start, when it gets increasingly dark each movie, I stand that so much. I think this one, they had so many moments, for instance, when it was the cameras, they made it really dark and different colour, like different tone. So I just think I like that it's getting more serious into the juicy proper final fight and all the Horcruxes, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like the build up into the climax of all of it. Yeah.
Ooh,
it's so exciting. I now want to go watch all the others, even though I watched all of them before Christmas, because every Sunday night I would watch one of the Harry Potter films when I was at uni, so I managed to go through all of them before Christmas.
I love that. I wish I did that with you.
I would just sit there on my Larry in my uni room watching Harry Potter.
Sometimes it just has to be done.
But I think they're actually putting them all on ITV or ITV2 at some point soon. I think I saw an advert on telly the other night. Harry Potter.
No way.
So
are they going to make us watch adverts with it then?
Probably, which is really
so
annoying.
Rude.
You might just have to record them and then watch it and skip the adverts.
Mm. A big shout out to Sam, actually, because I borrowed her DVD for this episode especially, and actually I got the Deathly Hallows ones as well, because I just thought as soon as I watch Half Blood Prince, I'm going to want to watch those after, because Abs has the DVDs at uni and she's had them there literally the whole lockdown. I think she might have bought them, I don't know, somehow we ended up watching them in, I think we had a Now TV trial and watched them in summer or something once. But I didn't realise that they're these movies that you just keep coming back to, and you just get these urges that you suddenly really need to watch them. So I realised that I really need to get my own DVDs of these.
Yeah, because they're literally on no streaming services. You have to have the DVD to watch them.
Unless you're fancy and have Now TV, but,
but
I don't.
No,
so,
either.
No. I mean, why, like, in a pandemic, least you could do is put Harry Potter on Netflix.
I know. You'd get so many extra people signing up to Netflix.
Yeah, honestly. But just the thing is, I've got Netflix, Prime, Disney Plus, and it's not on a single one of them. Disgraceful. Anyway, do you think before we dig deeper into Half Blood Prince, we should just establish our status, well, our fan status in relation to Harry Potter, whether we're hardcore fans or what if we're Potterheads, I should say. So how do you get into this Harry Potter fan world?
Well, I'm not as a hardcore fan as I was when I was 14, and we had this, there was like a week in the summer, I think they called Activities Week, we could go do like cool things. And one of the trips was a trip to the Harry Potter studios. Myself, Erin, Eloise, Freya and Amy, we were all best friends. We all signed up to this trip to go to the Harry Potter studios, and we all reread all the books in preparation.
Oh my god.
Erin and I made wands out of like rolled up paper and hot glue and painted them for everyone. I think one of us made like Hogwarts letters for each of us. Like
we were
hardcore into it. And like I have a copy of the Marauder's Map that I bought from the studio.
This is intense. Wow.
So I was a big, big fan. I'm not as hardcore now. I was. Actually, I say that. I'm now going to show you my sock.
Stop it. That's amazing.
Harry on it. And that wasn't even intentional for today.
Oh my god. Wow.
I do love Harry Potter because I read them growing up, and my Nana loved it, and I've got her books, she gave them to me. Yeah, so it holds a very, like you said, they're a they're films that I'll always go back to, like comfort films that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
But I'm not as hardcore as I was when I was 14.
Yeah, no longer making those wands using hot glue.
Oh, what were we like?
Oh, I love that though.
What about you? Where do you stand?
I started reading them in primary school, and I remember when I read them, I liked them. I wasn't that obsessed. I felt like Abs was always way more into them than I was. So compared to her, I was like, oh, I like it, but I'm not a huge fan. Oh my god, sorry, I just not my phone open. That's really made me jump. Oh, but anyway, yeah, I like the movies. And then I was just always at this base level of, yeah, I like Harry Potter. And then we went to the Harry Potter Studios thing. Not studios, you know, the thing in Florida, rides, which was insane. We went when they built the first one, and then we went when they had the second part as well. Wow. And oh my god, I was so excited. Those are some of the best days of my life going there. And then after that, also we went to the studios on Christmas Eve.
Aww.
Or something like that, maybe Christmas Eve, I don't know, it doesn't matter. And I feel like I'm defo not a diehard fan, like some people, but increasingly as I've gotten older, I've realised these might be my most watched movies, especially because Abs and I will be like, oh, should we do a Harry Potter marathon together? So I really like them, but I don't know, I don't own a Harry Potter scar or a wand. I've got a little Slytherin postcard that's on one of my cabinets. But to be fair, even if I'm not really hardcore, when we went to that Harry Potter quiz with George online, and it was hosted by Warwick Davies, we loved it. And we did pretty well on the quiz. It was so hard, wasn't it?
Yeah, we did really well.
Yeah, that was, oh, I loved that quiz. He was so funny. Oh.
That was such a good evening.
Yeah, it was. So let's talk Half-Blood Prince.
Okay. Da, da, da.
Okay, can we just start off talking about Draco? Because
I knew it.
One of the reasons I actually think about it, why it is my fave, because don't you think this is just Draco's time to shine?
Yeah.
Draco.
Even though I can't remember what the numbers are for it, but I remember seeing something where it's like, oh, how much screen time each of the Harry Potter characters have. He has something stupid like 15 minutes throughout all eight films.
Go on, we've got to Google this now. It's such a joke, isn't it? I saw the same thing. And it's mad because I think of him as being a major person, isn't it?
And a lot of the time I think I get mixed up still between the films and the books, because when I would read the books, I would imagine the scene so vividly in my head that I thought they happened in the films.
I know. And the thing is, I've rewatched the movies, but I've not constantly reread the books. So obviously, it's a lot more effort. So yeah. I'm starting to lose my memory or make things up. So I can't distinguish that well between the books and films.
Yeah. I probably haven't reread the book since I was 14.
Yeah, I've not.
That's a long time ago now.
But one thing that did stand out to me from the books was that Peeves, he wasn't in the movies at all, and I remember reading about him a lot. That's one thing, but I've probably forgotten a lot of the book's content now.
And I also really vividly remember the kitchens at Hogwarts where all the elves made all the food. I really vividly remember that, and there being the painting of all the fruit, and you had to touch the pear to get in through the door to the kitchen. I really vividly remember that.
Oh my god. Well, did you ever play, I think it was in year 12, that Harry Potter app came out? Do you know what I'm on about?
Yeah, I never did though.
Oh, because you got to go into the kitchens with that. I loved that app. I was on it for ages. I actually did it not that long ago.
Bringing it back to Draco.
Sorry, yes, Draco.
Draco had 31 minutes of screen time across eight films.
That is a joke.
That's insane.
They did Tom Felton so dirty.
I know.
Wow. Because in a way, okay, I feel like people might come at me for this, even though obviously Harry and Voldemort are enemies, on another level, especially at the start, I'd say, it's like Dumbledore and Voldemort, fight each other, and then Harry and Draco fight each other.
Yeah.
So I feel like Draco is his enemy as much as Voldemort in a way. So how is he not in it that much?
I know, it's crazy. And I'm now just looking at this list. Neville's only in it for 28 minutes. McGonagall, 28 minutes. I mean,
I guess there's a lot of people to get through.
Yeah, but that is crazy. But I know what you mean about the whole, they pit like Harry and Draco like against each other as enemies at the beginning, and they could have played on that more, but they didn't.
Yeah, I love in film number 8. I need to rewatch them long. So I'm like such a big fan. I think isn't that when Harry saves Draco from the fire in the Room of Requirement?
I know what you're on about.
And I feel like I was gonna say that's him being like more redemptive. You know what I mean? Because then after that, isn't that when they go outside and it's like, oh, who's gonna join us? And then Draco doesn't want to be with them, but his mom's like, no, you have to be with us. So, like, at that point. See, I always knew Draco had it in him. He's a lovely person, really.
Deep down. He's misunderstood, bless him.
Yeah. I would argue that, in terms of Half-Blood Prince, it's not even Harry that is the best bit about the film or who carries it. It's basically Dumbledore and Draco, my father, will hear about this Malfoy who carry the film. It's literally them two. Oh, I guess, and Snape, because he does the killing in that.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad about that at all.
No. And I know what you mean. Oh, but there are so many points in that film where Draco, he just looks so sad. I just want to give him a hug.
No, okay.
Just need a hug.
That scene when he's in the bathroom and Harry casts Sex and Sember on him and he's crying before Harry comes in. Oh my god, wow.
My heart.
I know. And did you notice in that scene, that was when they changed the lighting again and it was really grey. I just love those lighting changes, and I already said it, but and I live for that scene when Draco looks in the mirror at himself. Just that look. I just think that's like when he's bleeding out on the floor. And his hair's so white, because don't you think in the earlier films, his hair's so yellow, and I just want to get a bottle of purple shampoo and go all over his head. And it's literally just so white. It looks so good. And I remember when I watched it when I was younger, I thought, oh my God, Draco has had a glow up.
Yeah.
And yeah, that movie is just,
yeah,
works for him.
Mm-hmm. I think it helps that I've got a soft spot for blondes.
Let's talk more about the hard hitting stuff. Dumbledore's death.
Oh, that broke me.
Oh,
every single time I rewatch that film, it makes me cry.
Literally, I was about to say, does it make you cry every time? And literally, or have goosebumps. I've started not getting. I don't always cry at that. But more so, I just get all like shivers.
Mm.
It's incredible how much actually you get such a strong reaction to it, you know?
And even the bit when the burrow gets burnt down, that bit is always
so bad.
Because it's the way they're all just got Molly just stood there outside just looking at her burning house. And
I don't know about you, but I always get that confused with, in the first Deathly Hallows movie, when they have to take Harry over to the Burrow, and then I don't know what
happened. They have Bill and Fleur's wedding, isn't it? In the first Deathly
Hallows. Hang on a minute. Wait, I'm literally making this up. In Order of the Phoenix, when doesn't Harry, he has to go to their house?
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
They all learn different things, and then Fred gets hit
with the ear thing.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I get those two moments. They seem like the same bit in my head. I don't know why. I don't know. And I couldn't even remember which bit I was confused about.
Big bits that happen at the Burrow. But yeah, it seems like Dumbledore just like places Harry with the Weasleys. Something not so right is going on. So he's like, okay, I'm going to go send you to go see the Weasleys and stay with them.
Yeah. Oh, that's just reminded me of something that I was going to bring up. Mm-hmm. So right at the start of the film, when Harry is sat in the cafe at the train station, which, again, that always just, I don't seem to register it that much. I don't really remember it unless I've seen it recently. Because I thought, what? I've already forgotten. I thought it started with Snape and him making the unbreakable vow. But does it start in the train station and then go to Snape?
Those two scenes happen at the beginning.
I literally watched this last night.
I can't remember what comes first.
Oh, well, just discard that thought. But anyway, him being in the station. Yeah. When I'd seen it before, I remember thinking that he was at a tube station. And I thought, that's really weird that they have a cafe in a tube station. And then I realised this for the first time, I always noticed something new when I watched them, was that it wasn't a tube station. But in that case, it was so weird because it's literally so dingy. I don't know any stations like that. Like, I swear there's a roof bit over it. And there's literally, like, you can see where it says platform, so it obviously is a station. But it's just, it looks really tube-esque. It's so random. I don't know how to explain. But I don't know if that's just me. I thought that was interesting. I've never been to that train station, if they did film at that actual train station, but I just thought it was such a weird station. It looked really dingy and tubey.
Yeah. I don't know whether that was the point.
Maybe. I've never really deeped it before. I don't really need to deep it now, but it was just an observation I had at the beginning.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. The film sets out this, like, bleak, darker kind of theme right from the offset. Like, it starts with a dingy cafe, with the unbreakable vow,
yeah,
and with Draco sneaking around, what's the shop called,
Bulgin and Burke,
that's the badger.
What? Yeah. I've never heard that expression before.
Wow, I didn't realize that. I often say that's the badger or on it like a car bonnet.
You've never said that's the badger to me ever. I've never heard you say it. Never heard anyone say it.
Wow.
Oh, now I know. Okay. Thank you for enlightening me.
Welcome.
Yes, Borgin, but that's where it was at. Oh, did you get Twilight moment from him putting the apple in there? Because it's so dark, it's the exact same kind of setup, you know?
Same kind of vibes in that moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get you.
Yeah, definitely.
I was also thinking, of course they do all the potions in this one. Potions are a big thing because Half-Blood Prince, which is Snape, and he's in all the potions book and whatever.
Mm.
I was thinking, do you know what the what's it called? Do you know the love potion?
Yeah, I could see that you were going there, but I thought, I don't know what it's called either, so I'll let you struggle.
Thank you for that. Basically, do you know what that, well, do you have an idea of what that would smell like to you? Because it's meant to smell like your favourite things.
That's such a good question. I think the exact opposite of what Hermione said, the scent she said of toothpaste and grass. Ugh, disgusting.
Also, I just jump on the whole toothpaste thing.
Yeah.
I don't know whether this is made a bigger deal in the books. I think it is, or maybe I'm just making it up. But she says spearmint toothpaste, which I'm pretty sure is the toothpaste that the Weasleys use. Which I think was like a little thing of her being like, oh yeah, she likes the smell of Ron's toothpaste. But that's weird. That's a reach. That's my
Actually, right at the start, when Harry turns up at the Burrow, and then Hermione's got a bit of toothpaste, and then her and Ron have a little moment about it.
Yeah.
So there's definitely that running thread there.
So
detectives.
My 14-year-old fangirl then was like, oh, by the way.
Ooh. Literally, I don't know, because I know what my favorite smells are, which would be Sif and fresh bread. But I don't know, like, I wouldn't want a man to smell like bread, so it depends.
But it's not, I don't think it's what a man, it's just your favorite smells.
Oh, okay,
like a person,
because it's the way she phrased it. She's like, what attracts you? I was like, yeah, gonna be attracted to a man smelling like Sif. Well, I don't know. Oh, we'll leave that as my answer. What would you have said?
You're leaving your answers sip and bread.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some of my favourite smells.
Yours are going to be so much more standard than mine. I mean that in the best way possible, and that mine weird.
the first thing I can think of is the smell of like a bookshop or a library.
Oh.
Like the kind of semi-musty book smell.
Mm, yeah.
Bread is actually a really good one. Like,
thank you.
Like a bakery smell.
Oh my god, yeah.
Because you've got the bread and then maybe like the little sweet bits as well. And then probably something really boring and standard like freshly cut grass. I love the smell of freshly cut grass.
Oh, so maybe you are kind of like Hermione.
Maybe. Ooh. Well, we'll have to do a quiz later and find out.
Oh, I just thought of one that's less strange.
Okay.
I love the smell of cotton. You know, you can get the cotton or even linen fresh candles.
Yeah.
Do you know which ones I mean? They're so good. The smell of fresh sheets. Yeah. Someone can smell like that, so maybe that's a better answer.
Yeah.
Sif. Anything clean is what I like.
I am with you on that.
Actually. What did you think about, just in general, the movie and the book being called Half-Blood Prince? Because the titles are actually quite interesting sometimes. Something's like Goblet of Fire, obviously, because it's about the Goblet of Fire, the whole ceremony, I mean, tournament, whatever. And how did you feel about there being such a heavy emphasis on the potions and Harry going through the book and it changing his mind, that kind of thing?
Oh, that's really interesting. Words. What I was going to say is, I'm not a huge, I probably should know this, as I've been like, oh yes, I was such a big fan, but Snape is a half-blood wizard, so he's a muggle parent and a wizard parent, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's a half-blood prince, right?
Yeah, that's what I assumed, because isn't that how he would probably know Lily if he had one muggle parent?
Yeah, because of course Lily had muggle parents.
Mm.
So I guess that's where maybe he felt that with there. So that, I think that in itself is interesting, because Voldemort and all his like cronies have such this big thing for like pure blood.
Yeah. I literally just thought about that.
That Snape being one of Voldemort's cronies, but also I guess, okay, maybe I'm deeping it. This might be pretty deep. Snape's the half-blood prince, right? Because he's got his bad side, his Voldemort side, but also his Dumbledore and loving Lily and trying to protect Harry side. So there's that kind of, that split between him in that respect, which could be widened out into his split between his muggle and his wizard. That's maybe deeping it a little bit too much than it should be.
No, I was thinking along the same lines. Yeah, that's a really good point.
And I think it's when you first properly get an idea of kind of who Snape is, more so in these later films than in the earlier ones. Because in the earlier ones, Harry just seems to think he's trying to kill him all the time.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, what do you think?
Well, I never really deeped the titles, kind of just took it face value, and it's something I've been thinking about more recently. And yeah, I think it's really interesting because the emphasis is obviously on Snape, and it could literally just be like Harry Potter and Snape turns evil, but obviously it's not, because that's just be more classy than that. But I like the whole point is that he has this different identity, and I think it assumes that he has origins in the past, and it starts your cogs turning about, oh, which side is Snape on? Because I could be wrong, but I feel like before this movie he just seemed pure evil. Well, and in this movie as well, I can't remember, because this is the thing, because now when I watch them all I'm just like, oh, I love you Snape the whole time, because I know. But yeah, so I really like the whole concept of it being focused on Snape and him having this duality.
Yeah.
And also because I think Half-Blood Prince is like royalty as a prince, and Harry is this chosen one. So like this whole kind of hierarchy thing. And I really like that it's all focused on this potions book, because obviously got nerd here. And I think it's really cool that it's a way in that Harry's following Snape to get to Slughorn, but like to get to Voldemort.
Yeah.
And that Snape is supposedly like working for Voldemort, but he's actually working for Dumbledore. So it's just all of these, like, it's one of those maps again where it's like all the different pins in, whatever. So I just love the hijack. I love seeing them more in the classroom as well, you know, especially higher up and doing their kind of like A-level style thing. I think that's really cool. So yeah, I appreciate it all more of that now that I'm older, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure the first time I read it or watched it, I knew that it was Snape or had any idea that it was Snape.
Yeah.
Until he mentions how it was his spell that was used on Draco. I don't think I realised. Mm. But I wonder whether there are any clues to it being him, apart from the fact that he's really good at potions and was the potions master for so long. That's, I guess, maybe the only thing.
I think also when Harry does hit Draco with the spell, and I'm not saying no one else would have known about the spell, but it just seemed personal to Snape, so that he immediately counteracted the effects and seemed nonplussed. Maybe could be a little sign.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the point where I started to click first time I saw it, being like, oh, okay.
Like, oh, it's just right at the end. She's like, how dare you use my own spell against me?
I know.
Snape,
last moment, everyone's like, what? He's the Half-Blood Prince.
Oh my god. And also, it's quite interesting because Draco's story arc could reflect that of Snape's when he was younger.
Yeah.
And Half-Blood Prince is him when he was younger at Hogwarts. Gonna be like at that school, you know, that school. So it's nicely mapping on. So I really like it all. It's very well put together. Oh my god, another thing I just thought of that I wanted to bring up was, do you know what breaks my heart even more than Dumbledore actually dying is when he says please to Snape, and the first time round you think he's saying, oh please don't kill me, and then after you watch read the later bits, then you realize he's saying please kill me.
I know.
Oh my god, wow. Just that one word. Ooh, packs a punch.
It's just... Do we want to do a quiz?
Yes. Although, actually, can I be annoying? Because I've just thought of one more thing I want to bring up. Oh, no. Felix Felicis, if I'm saying it right.
Yes.
Oh, my God, what a storyline. That cracked me up. I just found it so funny the whole way through, anything to do with it. But especially when Harry takes it and he just acts drunk. Don't you think? I don't know if it's just me.
No, I was going to say the same thing. He acts completely off his head. All of a sudden, he drinks it, and it's like he's drunk a bottle of vodka.
Literally.
He's on about one spider. He's like...
Everyone who doesn't know what we're on about, Ella is doing the bit. I was just about to mime it, which isn't helpful. The bit when Aragog dies. And he's like, oh, and he's got pincers, so that's why people might not like him. And he acts out having pincers. And yeah, that is one of the best moments in the entire series. And I thought I need to bring that up today. That's an important moment.
No, definitely.
Iconic. Yeah, definitely.
And it's nice that Hagrid gets his moment in that film.
Yeah.
As well, because I do love Hagrid.
I know. Hagrid's hut going up in flames at the end, though.
Oh my god, below.
Oh, not good. Hang on. Well, I guess he wasn't. No, he wasn't in it because he was with Harry after, so that's fine.
I hope he wasn't in it.
I was like, they never explained that. Guess he was out somewhere. Okay. All right, yes, let us do which character we are now, though.
So this is, I just typed into Google, what Harry Potter character are you? And this is a BuzzFeed one that's come up.
So, it'll probably be the first one. Yeah, I love the caption, do you know who you are? I don't know. Do you have an idea before you do this of which character you are or not, really?
No, I've never thought about which character I am. Like, I know which characters I really like.
Mm-mm.
Right, pick a film.
Yeah.
And...
I'm not going to lie, sorry, I'm already laughing because it's so funny how they've done it all in Harry Potter font, like just the Parent Trap in that font. I don't know why, it's just quite funny. Yeah, which one are you picking?
I'm going to have to pick Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind because I love that film. It's on my top 25 films.
Is it?
Yeah.
You're classy. Love that. I haven't seen it. Obviously, I know about it, but... Yeah, I am picking The Parent Trap because I've not seen that many on that, and that is a pretty good one. So.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Okay, which object do you most desire?
Ooh.
Oh, I'll be intrigued to see your answer. I hope it's not just a TV. That is still, why would you put that on there next to all of those other cool things?
I know, that's what I was thinking, because, like, why would you choose a TV over a firebolt? I mean...
Yeah.
What one am I going to go for? I don't really want one of the Deathly Hallows items. I feel like that's a lot of responsibility.
Oh. See, I'm going to pick the invisibility cloak because I just feel like, I don't know, you could have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
Well, and it can be practical in that if you're in danger, hide.
Yeah. What am I going to go for? I might go for the Marauder's Map, you know?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
What is that picture of Dumbledore? He's like...
That's really funny, but I wasn't laughing. Just the Harry Potter font, which is supposed to be scary and dramatic. And he's written Shepherd's Pie in the font.
I know!
Why does that make me laugh so much? Oh, my God. And oh, the steak tartare. Why have they put that on there? That's so weird.
This is such a weird collection of things they've put on here. Oh, the question, by the way, is what's your favourite food? What are you going to go for?
That's just, I will pick cheese.
Nice.
What are you picking?
I'm going to go for chocolate eclair.
Oh, lovely. All right, pick a drink. That's so funny. Again, I've noticed the milk in the dramatic font. Have you tried butterbeer?
Yes, I did. I had it when I was at the studio tour in London.
Ooh.
Have you had it?
What did you think? Yeah, I have.
I thought it was nice, but it was so sweet. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, literally, isn't it? It makes you feel like your teeth are going to fall out.
I know.
Like you can't really drink that much. Yeah. I preferred pumpkin juice because it's just juice, really, isn't it? So.
Oh, I've never had pumpkin juice.
Oh, tell me that you're picking tea for this.
Obviously. Who else would I be?
Oh.
I hope you're picking tea as well.
I am. I am as well. Okay, on to pick a song. It's I just will never get over these fonts. Oh my God, that mean Taylor Swift.
Let me shade Eminem.
You just, it's hard to explain. Like when you look at it, if you guys do this quiz, it just looks really funny how it comes up.
Ooh. What are you gonna
Can pick? I guess what you're gonna pick?
Okay, guess.
Okay.
I don't even know what I'm gonna pick.
I think you are gonna pick Creep.
I actually was gonna pick the Whitney Houston one.
What? Really?
I don't really know why.
I thought you were too cool for that.
Never.
Oh no, I've let you down. I was so confident as well. I'm going to, of course, pick Mirrors by Justin Timberlake.
Nice, nice.
I'm a big fan. Well, actually, I will just say I'm a big fan of his songs. Don't know about him.
Him as a person.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's Draco.
Oh, look at him. I think that's a picture from this film as well.
Yeah. Have you seen the memes? Well, Tom Felton turned it into a thing of people doing their best Potter.
Yeah,
and I love this particular meme. You know that person who got sunglasses on and they're proper like, they look like they sucked a lemon, and it's like when Draco's getting ready to say the P in Potter. I love that. Anyway, yeah, so where do we want to hang out?
I might go for the Three Broomsticks.
That is a solid choice. I think I will go for the tea shop though.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, cute, lovely.
How would you spend your ideal weekend?
Oh. They've got some good choices on here. I don't know which to pick.
Hmm.
Sounds a bit menacing, getting drunk with your friends in that font.
I know.
Like, oh, what's going to happen if I do?
It's the same with hiking. The fact that you're hiking in that font. Oh, what could happen?
What are you going for?
I don't know. I might go with hanging with your family, you know?
Yeah. I think I will.
I'm not going to be playing sports.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Well, it depends, because I was thinking in bed with a book or watching TV, but then I'd probably do those with my family. Well, actually, I don't know. I'm normally with my mum. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Right, next thing. Your ideal partner is someone who...
doesn't exist.
Yeah, to be fair.
What are you going for?
Who you're comfortable with, I think I'm gonna pick.
Mm.
What about you?
Yeah, I might go with the same one. Pick a potion.
Oh, here is Amor Tensha.
I always forget what it's called. I forget how to say it.
What catches your eye? Catches your eye even.
I might go with a draught of peace, because we'll use a little peace potion.
What actually does it do? Does it bring peace to the world?
Or to you? I don't know.
It would be beneficial either way, so I think I would like to pick that also. Mm. Okay, what do you prefer reading?
The Onion.
I did not know that that was a newspaper.
Neither.
I don't know. I don't reread newspapers.
No, I don't either.
I read a bit of the one we get on the weekend because it's got the TV guide in, but then sometimes I just find it a bit annoying and don't read that much.
Yeah, I don't know. I might click the New Yorker just because I've read some of like the short stories and things that have been published in there.
Oh, that's a good idea. I think I'll pick BuzzFeed just because we always do the quizzes on here.
Yeah.
Are you freaking out at the next picture? I hated seeing that.
Ooh. Oh, I know.
For our listeners, it's a picture of Ron with, you know, that thing when it was Mad-Eye Moody, but not really, it's David Tennant, and he was doing all the different unforgivable curses, and it was that spidery scorpion thing, and it's on Ron's head. Mm-hmm. Ugh, not cool.
Not good. But we do get to pick a magical creature next.
Yes.
Hmm.
This is a tough one. What is a crumble-horned snorkel?
I recognise the name, but I don't really know. I think it might be one of the creatures that Hagrid maybe has at some point.
I am now on Harry Potter Wiki to get a picture. An elusive creature believed to live in Sweden. Well, okay.
What are you picking?
I don't know. I like to have visuals of them all, so I'm just having a look. I don't know, pygmy puffs are probably the cutest, right?
Yeah, they are proper cute.
Mm.
But then having an owl would be pretty cool.
Yeah. We literally take so long doing these quizzes. Who was it that we did a quiz with and they were... Oh, George and I did one with Georgia the other night. I feel like, you're still on that question? We just like to read and think about it.
I think I don't... Better just make a decision. I'm going to go for an owl.
Do you know what? I'm gonna do unicorn, yeah? Because hey. I felt really sorry for them when... Quirrell was drinking their blood. Okay, right, let's pick a TV show. Hopefully we will be quicker now.
Yeah, okay, I'm gonna be quick on this one. I'm gonna go for New Girl. I love New Girl. So good. Watch it, it's on Netflix.
I am picking Sherlock because it's the only one I've seen. Oh my god, okay, who did you get?
Okay, I got Dumbledore.
Legendary. What does it say?
It says, you're wise, quirky, and very trusting. You're loved and respected by everyone, but sometimes you put too much pressure on yourself to make everything right.
I mean, that's actually pretty accurate. You are Dumbledore.
Who did you get? Who did you get?
I got Neville Longbottom.
Oh, Neville!
Which, now I think about it, I didn't really know who I would be out of the characters, but do you know what? Probably am Neville. Well, Reed always says. It says, you're awkward and clumsy and hate being the centre of attention, but you're brave and big-hearted and people can always trust you to help them out in a bad situation.
Oh, that's so
I'll probably sound a bit of Neville, you know?
Yeah, oh.
Yeah, that's lovely. Oh,
that's sweet.
All right, that was fun. I like that very much. Should we, at this juncture, talk about fave characters?
Yes, I think we should.
Okay, who are some of yours? Do you have a top one? Or?
I really like Ginny. But they do her dirty in the films by not giving her enough character development. Like, they don't give her the time she needs. But in the books, she's brilliant. So it's a bit of a shame that they don't use her full potential in the films. But I still do really like her. Oh, I like all of them. I love Luna.
Oh, yeah.
She just seems to have this, like, I don't know, this kind of quote. I'm doing, like, some weird little Bob thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of, like, chill, floaty, kind of cool vibe about her.
Yeah, agreed.
I really like.
Mm.
Oh, and then you've got people like Tonks, she's cool.
Yeah.
I feel like I could just sit here and just name all of them.
Yeah, literally.
So tell me some of your favourites.
I really like all of the adults. Mm. I don't know why. I mean, I like the kids, but like just Sirius.
Yes.
And Hagrid and the whole order. I love Tonks as well. And Lupin, Mad-Eye when it's actually him, Arthur, yeah. Molly. They're just the whole order. I love them. There's no one that I really dislike in it, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from Wormtail, obviously.
Yeah.
His nails, I just can't deal with. They're just disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and can I take this moment to highlight the scariest moment for me in the entire, all of the movies was, oh my God, when Voldemort got his body back properly in Goblet of Fire, I was so scared by that entire scene. I literally could not deal with it. And I can't have been really, really young when I watched it either. And I don't think it was until I'd seen some other movies with Ralph Fiennes in, which were more rom-coms like Made in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was like, oh, it's just him. And I was more calm. But he's just so scary. I just, even now gives me shivers a bit.
I always forget it's him as well. Like, I see him in other films and then forget, and then all of a sudden like, oh yeah, it's Voldemort.
Yeah, I like to think of him now is, did you see him in the Grand Budapest Hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to think of him as that when I'm watching it so I don't get too scared.
Yeah. He's proper scary.
Yeah. Oh. Who are your favourite ships as well amongst the characters?
Ooh. Because I know that a lot of people don't like Hermione and Ron together.
Yeah.
And actually a lot of people don't like Ron, which I guess I kind of see. But because I think everyone's always like, oh, Ron's always just really mean to Hermione.
Yeah.
And they were just kind of together for the sake of it as such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Lupin and Tonks.
Oh.
Adorable. Yeah. Love it.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, Luna and Neville are a thing by the end, aren't they?
Is
that just my imagination? Me hoping? I will Google this. Did I make this up?
Oh, but the thing is, though, if you Google it, there'll probably be a load of fanfics because there's loads of like Draco and Hermione fan fictions and things like that.
What? Apparently, the Telegraph said that Neville married someone called Hannah and Luna married Newt's grandson, Rolf.
Oh,
no, do you know what it was? It was when they had the battle, like the final one. Neville was like, I'm going to tell Luna I love her or like her or whatever. Like, he just said he was going to tell her, but they didn't actually end up together.
Oh, at least he told her.
Okay, I'm just making stuff up. My fave, actually, probably a bit controversial, but I really liked Snape and Lily. Because when you, oh my God, I just find it so moving when you see Snape's memories.
Oh, yeah.
And they were just so sweet together. Now, I don't mean to be horrible, but Harry's dad, James, just seems a bit... how he treated Snape was so cruel. So I actually was like, don't really like you, to be honest.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
James does throw off those kind of arrogant, thinks he's like the top dog kind of vibes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm not playing with that.
Yeah. And all of Snape's actions are motivated by Lily as well. And it's so sad that they were never even really a thing.
It's so sad that he was living his whole life completely in love with her, even after she died, doing basically everything for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure she ever really knew.
Do you think Snape ever saw Harry as being kind of like his son, or not at all? Just always found him annoying?
I think he felt some kind of responsibility, in a way, for him. I don't know whether as much to the extent of a son.
Yeah.
He did feel some kind of responsibility. But I think he also kind of feels that for Draco at points as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Oh, do you know what I would have liked to have seen? Draco and Hermione Because when she punched him, I thought, this is the start of something. The tension.
I reckon they could have run with that. They could have turned Draco good.
Yeah.
And Draco and Hermione could have been brilliant.
I do like the existing... I mean, I think how it ended was good and the couples it established, so...
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And it kept all of, like, the trio still all linked together, which is really sweet.
Yeah, I don't like how they dress Harry at the end, though. Strange send-off. He just looks, I don't know, just not it. Can we bring up the saddest moment or the death which hit the worst? But also, on a nicer note, our favourite moment. It could be from any of the books, any of the films.
Ooh, okay. Dobby's death hit me hard.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that was proper. What moment hit you the hardest?
Defo, when Sirius died, I just could not deal with that. Oh my god, that just... I don't know what happened to me. I would have read it, but I don't think I watched the movie for a while.
Mm.
And like, I think I knew he died because I'd obviously seen Harper Prince. But nothing prepares you for just seeing Harry like, no, Sirius.
Yeah, the way he just like slips through the veil and it's like, oh.
I was literally sobbing. I just could not, because that was when Sirius finally, they had a really good relationship and they were seeing each other and they were going to live together. And then he went. Was there any need for that? I mean, really... How can you kill off Sirius and Dumbledore and then all those people in Deathly Hallows? No, that's not okay with me.
I know, it's like, I'm going to say the wrong twin, but I can't remember which twin it was.
I don't know. I could see you were going for that again, and I don't know. Hang on, let me see.
I want to say Fred.
It was Fred.
Okay, I was right.
I get confused because, as I say, in Order of Phoenix, one of them gets hit in the ear, and then I thought they were going to die then. But they don't die, they die at the battle. So that's what confuses me. Anyway, yeah.
But I can't believe, like, killed off Fred, killed off Lupin.
Like, so many people.
However many others, and it's just...
Not good. A nice moment, though. Your favourite ever moment in it?
My favourite ever moment? I don't know, that's really, really hard. That's really hard.
Ooh, it is difficult.
There are so many moments, because when Hagrid takes Harry to Diagon Alley for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's good. What else? There's so many good moments. I can't even, like...
It's so hard.
The Yule Ball, that's a good moment.
Yeah, that is.
What's some of your favourites?
My absolute favourite is... it's just when Filch is like, you've got to have your wits about you. And whenever he says that, I crack up so much. I actually really like Filch. Obviously, he's horrible, but he's just funny.
Oh, yeah.
I guess a lot of my favourite moments are in Goblet of Fire, and that was my favourite for a while until I got older and preferred Dark a bit. I think it's just because in Goblet of Fire, it's more fun-filled, if that's the right word. Like, it's so... Like, you got this one event and then another one, and it's like, ooh. I don't know, I just feel like it's more, I've got this big thing going on. So, and obviously I really enjoyed Cedric Diggory being in it. But yeah, like, I love when Draco gets turned into a ferret, I think it is. I enjoyed that.
Oh yeah, that is good.
That was good. And I quite liked when Harry was trying to figure out how to open the egg and he was in the bath jacuzzi thing.
And then Moaning Myrtle. There.
Yeah, I quite like that also. Yeah, good times. Oh, and definitely when Molly managed to fight against Bellatrix and won. Go on, Molly. Yeah,
that was good.
Good times.
Should
we do our houses?
Yes, let me have a look at the screenshot. So a while ago we did the BuzzFeed, what's your Hogwarts house percentage, which splits your results into percentages of each house. So I'm going with yours first, Kerry.
Oh, okay.
You got, it says, you are all the things. You're everything. So you got 28% Ravenclaw, 26% Slytherin, 24% Hufflepuff, and 22% Gryffindor. You seem to be an almost perfect combination of all four houses, which is incredibly rare. You're equal in your intelligence, bravery, loyalty, and ambition. As we know, though, the Sorting Hat takes your preference into account, so it looks like you get to choose your own house.
See, this is the thing. I've always been quite Slytherin-esque because I just feel like I'd never be a Gryffindor. I'm no Harry Potter at all. But I feel like I like academic stuff, so kind of Ravenclaw. But then, I don't know, I just prefer Slytherin because they're also, I feel like, can be really clever and they're quite ambitious.
Yeah.
But I just feel like they're just allowed to have a bit more personality, if that's the right way. And I quite like that they're the ones who are kind of evil, but not necessarily, you know? And it's a bit more gritty. Because yeah. I like Hufflepuff as well for like being that, but then I feel like they're just too nice. So I just like Slytherin's the one where you can like just chill out, do anything.
I quite like that. That's nice.
But you know what? Whenever I do different tests, like when I did the one on Pottermore, it said I was a Hufflepuff. I've done loads of different ones and I always get a different thing each time. So I don't really know, but I just like Slytherin. I can be with Draco.
Yeah, and I think you're allowed to pick which one you like the most.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, and then when I did it, I got your 38% Hufflepuff, 31% Ravenclaw, 18 Gryffindor and 13 Slytherin.
I could have told you that.
So kind of like a flip of yours in a way.
Oh yeah, definitely.
The ones that I have lowest on, you have higher on. But that's okay, we complement each other.
Exactly.
So it says, you belong in Hufflepuff without question, but your Ravenclaw-esque appreciation for knowledge means your many friends come to you when they need advice from someone with a level head. While you enjoy any kind of learning, working as part of a team is where you truly thrive. You're an excellent collaborator and understand that communication with others is an essential part of learning and, most importantly, growing as a person.
Oh. Well, see, I've loved collaborating with you on Penryn Press on our publication. You are very easy to work with. What did George get on hers, by the way?
I think you got mostly Gryffindor. I didn't actually. But I think you got mostly Gryffindor. But I think that works quite nicely.
Yeah.
But I always said I was Ravenclaw, and that was especially in when I was like 14 years old, and that's when I thought I could go to Oxford University, and I was like, yes, academia, yes, that's all I need. But I guess. At heart, I kind of am a Hufflepuff.
I definitely see you as a Hufflepuff. That. You're a little badger.
Cedric was a Hufflepuff. I'll take it.
I do wish they had better representation of the different houses in the films.
Yeah, because in the films, you're basically got Gryffindor and then Draco.
Yeah.
And then Cedric as Hufflepuff and Harry's not really girlfriend from Ravenclaw.
Jo Chang, what's she called?
Yeah, I think she's called Cho, yeah. But they're not very good at representing all the houses.
No, yeah. Interesting.
Okay, what's your favourite book? Of the books, which one's your favourite?
Oh my god. That's asking. I reckon Prob's Goblet of Fire. That's one I have most fun reading. Because I think it's different when you're watching the movies. Obviously it's so much more visual and that it got darker. But I feel like because... It's funny, when you look at the books, and the first three are literally so slim, they're like that, or normal. And then as you progress, like Order of Phoenix, everyone can imagine that chunky book in their head. Yeah. Like, I can just see it right now. Because I remember reading it on the train to Scotland when I was, I don't know, I was really young. And it was just so heavy. But yeah, I think I liked getting into those chunkier books after the first three. And like, everyone agrees that's where the story really picks up. So I think, Goblet of Fire, that's just a really fun one, apart from Cedric even dying. So probably, that one, I think, when I feel like it's just juicier, more starts to happen. And then what about you?
I think I would either go for either Prisoner of Azkaban or Order of the Phoenix, even though I do love Goblet of Fire. I think Goblet of Fire is probably my second favourite of the films.
Mm.
But there's something about Prisoner of Azkaban that I just really, really like. Yeah,
it's interesting to say that I think Prisoner of Azkaban, out of the books and films, is probably the most, I don't know, the least favourite or most underrated, like gets swept under the carpet a bit more, rug even.
Yeah, no, I think it does, and
I don't know whether, like, subconsciously that's why I'm like, yeah, it's my favorite, because I feel like it's underrepresented.
Yeah.
With all the hype. Mm-hmm. But then I also love Order of the Phoenix, because Order of the Phoenix, I think, is the book where it's starting to get a bit more gritty. Like, there's becoming a bit more to it, but not getting too dark yet.
Yeah.
I think. And then you've got all of, like, the serious stuff in there, and then being at the house, all of that, which is really cool. But yeah. But I remember reading something about the reason it's so long is because there was a big plot hole. So then instead of just rewriting all of it to get rid of the plot hole, she just added in a load of extra stuff.
What was supposedly the plot hole? That's why it's so
long. Well, I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
But supposedly that's why it's so long, because instead of just rewriting it, she just added extra stuff to fix what she got wrong.
Oh. But
I don't know what level of truth to that is.
Don't you think with Prisoner of Azkaban as well, it's the one that seems most out of sync with the rest of the series, and that's not a criticism at all, because I like it. But it's just because with obviously the first movie, it's setting it up, and even in the second one, I think the good one before, like, you need some lighter bits before heading into proper dark Voldemort territory. And I think that's in the second one, it's good because it's another glimpse of Voldemort, and there's a Horcrux, even though we don't know it yet. And then in the third one, Voldemort's not really got anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And I guess it's the whole point for me, I would say, is about meeting Sirius, a bit more background on his past. But it's like, I don't know, it's like there's a big focus in the movie, at least, on Lupin. And then you go from, like, Voldemort, like, Sirius and Lupin, and then back into Goblet of Fire with more, like, right, Voldemort and everyone, things, and it carries on. Like, third scene's a bit of a, like, before it's like, right, let's go, you know?
Yeah, it seems like the last final break before things start to get proper serious, with Voldemort being a big threat.
Yeah, but in a way,
I don't even know if Voldemort's in the third one. He might not be.
No, but I quite like it for it being so... I feel like out of all of the books, that's one you could read separate to not reading the other ones, and be able to understand a lot of what's happening.
Yeah.
It takes a bit of a step back, and it's really cool. I love the whole thing with the time turner, which I feel like we spoke about that a couple of episodes ago randomly. I don't know. But I really like watching that. That's pretty cool.
I have a time turner necklace downstairs.
Oh my god.
My 14-year-old fangirl days.
I wish I knew you when you were 14.
I was one of those people who had like a fandom Instagram account.
Oh my god, I love that.
I was one of those people, like, yeah.
I mean, I had a fandom Instagram account, but it was for my favourite duo band people at the time. Yeah.
I think that's a bit cooler than having one for, like, YA books. Cooler than, like, Harry Potter, Hunger Games, Divergent, all that kind of jazz.
We need to do one on, say, like, you know, when we were about that age, 13, 14, and that was when, like, Hunger Games came out, Mortal Instruments came out, Divergent, Maze Runner, all those kind of things. Yeah. We should do an episode on that. I'm just thinking
we should, because I think secretly inside me, my 14-year-old fangirl self is still hiding in there, like, I love that stuff.
I was the biggest Twilight fan ever, but that was right at the end of primary school and year 7 as well, I'd say. And I genuinely used to watch, the first film was my favourite, and I'd watch it, like, every Friday night for ages. I used to do that. And then I'd say when I got into year 8, that's when I left it behind, and I've not looked back. I mean, it still holds a special place in my heart, but I honestly haven't watched it for years. And now, and then when I watched 13, 14, and I started watching all of those other films, the fantasy things, reading them all as well. So I need to revisit that part of my life.
It's kind of weird, but also kind of nice.
I agree. Is it time to do Blunt Moment?
I think so, because I think we've managed to round our Harry Potter conversation off quite well.
Yeah. I mean, I am tempted to give mine to Tom Felton. I don't know, like, that defies
the
object. No, I mean, I thought of another one that links into this week, and that is Luna Lovegood. Okay. And I have to Google the actress's name. Aww. I'm sorry, because I'm normally so good with actresses' names. But yeah, who is she? Ivana Lynch. Well, I'm sorry that I forgot, but there she is. Yeah. And I really like her overall. I think she's a really good actress in the film. Also, I don't really know her outside of the film. But she really reminds me as Luna, as one of my friends. And she's just so lovely and soft-spoken and really kind. So, well done. Blonde Moment shout out goes to her.
I love that.
Who is yours?
Mine doesn't link to Harry Potter this week. Mm. It goes to Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Because
icon.
She's just brilliant. And I watched Cruel Intentions again, which is one of those films that I really, really like, but I don't really know why, and I feel like I shouldn't like it. I do like it. But anyway, she's in that when she was really young. And it just goes to her because she's in a lot of good films. Like, I'm not sure I can think of any films with her in that I don't like.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and she's done a lot. She's done.
Yeah, she has. I would really like to watch Big Little Lies because I think the whole point is that it's supposed to be really good for, I don't know, just women in general. Not that they're treated well, but it's very like, girl power kind of thing, or just how it's been produced and directed or written or whatever. Well, it's, I think it because it's like her, Nicole Kidman, Zoe Kravitz, Shailene Woodley. But it seems really good, and I'm pretty sure they've won quite a few awards. But it's on Sky, so I can't watch it. Have you seen it?
I haven't. You'll just have to come around to my house and we can use the Skybox.
Thank you.
Just brilliant.
I will get so sad when I want to watch something and I see it's on Sky. Oh, of course it is. But then eventually they come onto Netflix, so...
Yeah, so hopefully it won't be too long. And talking about coming onto Netflix, Rocket Man is going to be put onto Netflix next month.
Oh my god, that's good. So I don't have to keep taking my DVD back and forth between uni and home because I can never bear to be without it.
Yeah, they're putting it on Netflix, so...
I'm a Rocket Man, Rocket Man. Oh, I just want to sing it all now. Oh.
Well, and that nicely linked into what next week's episode is going to be about.
I can't remember what we're doing.
La La Land.
Oh, that is a good link. Oh my god, we're doing La La Land. Oh.
Yes.
Why did I don't know why, I just had a blank.
So we're going to watch La La Land and then chat about some of our favourite musicals.
Yeah.
A bit more of a musical-based episode.
It's musicals. But that'll be
We get to stare at what Ryan Gosling's face.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for listening to
Tea O'Clock
with Keller.
See you next time.